You'd like to turn your Bibles to the 107th Psalm. Psalms 107. Going to begin at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he establisheth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the subject of Jesus satisfies the soul. The soul of man cries out to be satisfied. A man is naturally religious. It's instinctive to him. God placed that within him. And religion is a man or men seeking soul satisfaction. Man is conscious of there being enmity between God and himself. Look at Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse number 7. Romans the 8th chapter, beginning with verse number 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Every man has an inward burning desire to be at peace with God instinctively. Because in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, it tells us the purpose for which God created man. And until that purpose is fulfilled, man's soul will not be satisfied. Revelation 4 and verse number 11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. That includes man. Man was created to bring pleasure to God. In other words, he was created to please God, not himself, not mankind, not others, but to please God. That's our purpose. And until we have things right with God and let him remove that enmity between us and God, our souls are not going to be satisfied. They will be when we do that. Every man has an inward burning desire to be at peace with God. Romans 3 and 17 tells us that lost men have not ever known peace. That peace with God. Peace with God is what really brings peace to the life of the individual. It brings soul satisfaction. It brings peace when we surrender to serving the purpose for which God created us. And we can only do that through being recreated once again because of what sin has done. It's destroyed our ability to please God, and in order for that to be removed, we must come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and trust him as Savior. Now, there's a lot of things that we take into our lives to try to satisfy our soul, but there is nothing that we can bring into our life, not one thing that will satisfy the soul. Silver and gold will not satisfy. Look at Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse number 9. Ezekiel 7th chapter and verse 9. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abomination that are in the midst of thee, and shall know that I am the Lord. Is that the right? That's not the right verse of scripture. 7 and 19. 7 and 19, the Bible says, they shall cast their silver in the streets, their gold shall be removed, their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls. Silver and gold, wealth, power, fame, fortune will not satisfy the soul of man. That's why those that are in that position in life, that have the good life according to the flesh, listen, they have to have their drugs, they have to have their alcohol, they have to have this and that and something else in order to be content, at least in the misery that they're in. But listen, only Jesus can satisfy the soul of man and bring peace into his life between him and God. Neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. All of that is a stumbling block that will keep us from having our soul satisfied. Look at Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 10. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. It's like it's said about many that were wealthy beyond measure and did great feats in our society in the past. They're asked, how much does it take to have enough as far as money and power is concerned? And they said, just a little bit more. It's always just a little bit more, because this does not satisfy that yearning soul to have self-satisfaction. And silver and gold will not do it. That for which one can work will not satisfy the soul. Isaiah 55 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Heathen, or hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Yeah. Listen, the soul will not be satisfied with silver and gold. It will not be satisfied with fortune, wealth, and fame. It will not be satisfied except coming to Jesus Christ without anything to offer to him and yielding and letting him bring satisfaction into your soul. That's the key. That's the key to the whole matter. We cannot do it ourselves. There's nothing we can do in order to make things right and have peace with God. But Jesus did everything necessary to have it when we will put our faith and trust in him and what he has done. Sinful pleasures will not satisfy. They'll leave one burned out and a hungry soul. Ezekiel 16 and verse number 28. Ezekiel 16 and verse number 28. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied therewith. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 6, she that liveth in pleasure is dead, yet while she lives. Listen, fulfilling the lusts and the desires of the flesh will not satisfy the soul. Mere religion will not satisfy the soul, else there wouldn't continually be new religions born every day or day in and day out. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy the soul. And when the soul is satisfied, one is saved by the grace of God, then for us, the soul of that individual to be satisfied, the soul that's saved cries out for worship and service to God. And the order in which one must follow in order to obtain that is found in water baptism. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. 1 Peter 3 and 21. The soul that's saved will not be content or satisfied until they submit to scriptural baptism at the hands of a New Testament church. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21 says, the like figure, it's talking about water baptism, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. There's no salvation of the soul in the flesh, no cleansing or forgiving of sin or taking care of sin in water baptism. But it's an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When one is saved by the grace of God, their soul is satisfied, they have peace with God. Now the next thing in order to fully satisfy the soul is submit to scriptural baptism. It gives you a good conscience toward God. It's being obedient to God in the first command, the first step that he has. And then church membership, Ephesians chapter 3, and verse number 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And then teaching, being taught. Look at Hebrews 5 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink. He's scolding these individuals here, Hebrews, for not being able to teach and having enough knowledge in the Word of God, of being guilty of not studying to show themselves acceptable unto God. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What are we talking about? We're talking about having our souls fully satisfied after one is saved by the grace of God, after one has peace with God. The saved soul cries out to water baptism at the hands of a New Testament church, church membership where God can receive glory in their lives, and then being taught and then being teachers after that. And it takes Bible study, the study of the Word of God, the all Scripture. And then it takes prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And these are continual things. These are the life that we live. When our souls are satisfied, it gives us a new way of life. It gives us a new life. Is it worth it? Yes, because that's the only way you can fully enjoy this miserable life in the sinful mess that we have to exist in. And so it takes Bible study, takes prayer, and then it takes faithfulness. Look at 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know who the stewards are? New Testament church members. It's required of us to be found faithful. Faithful to what? To the Word of God. Faithful to whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful to whom? God the Father, through the Holy Spirit and working power within us in the Word of God. And so, it takes faithfulness and it takes a love of God in order to do that. Look at John chapter 14. John the 14th chapter, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You love Jesus? I'd ask each one of you, say, oh yes, I love Jesus. Are you keeping his commandments? Did you know that's the whole purpose in our life? Did you know that only when we keep his commandments are we going to really have soul satisfaction as a saved person, as a child of God? He created us to what? Please him. The only way we're going to please him is keeping his commandments. We can only do that if we love him. And by the way, love doesn't come natural to us. We have to work at it. We have to exercise it. If you don't exercise your love, it grows cold, takes away the enjoyment and satisfaction. If you love me, keep my commandments. Then in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Listen, if you don't keep his commandments, it's good evidence you don't love him. Well, I try. I do the best I can. No, listen, God isn't looking for the best. Because when we just give the best we can, we're making provision for the flesh. And the Bible's clear, we're to make no provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah. We're making those provisions. We need to give over and go all the way. Did you know that if this church and the membership would give over to Christ, each individual, that this church would have power in this community and in this state? And you'd be amazed at the difference that we could make and the influence that we could have for Jesus Christ in this world that we're living in. Yes, even in this day. Even in this day. As wicked as it is. By the way, it was just as wicked when Jesus was here. It was just as wicked in the days of the early churches. But look at the effect they had. It was this way in the days of the Apostle Paul. But look at what one individual could accomplish. Look at what Paul accomplished. Just by really, truly giving over. Loving the Lord as he should. Keeping his commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that love me. And by the way, it's not just good to have them or to know them. You have to put them into practice. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And we will manifest. Wait a minute. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Yeah. Brethren, we're meant to worship this morning. Did you know that worship is yielding, humbling ourselves before God, and receiving the witness of the Holy Spirit? How many times in service do we experience this? How often? Well, this is terrible times we're living in. Men's hearts are hardened. There's too many distractions. No, the trouble is we don't truly love the Lord like we should. And then so we don't keep his commandments like we should. He told the children of Israel, he said, when you go into the promised land, he said, don't turn from the right or the left. And he's talking about the doctrines of the Word of God. I'll tell you, I get so sick of dealing with other churches and some of our churches compromising, letting up. You little leaven, leaven the whole lump? Yes. We let up just a little bit. It's the little things that destroy a church. because they just let little things creep in. We can take baptism from this one because they tried, did as well they could, they meant well, and we'll just overlook that. No. Keep his commandments. Don't turn from the right or the left. Brother Cooper's bringing out in his class the perversion of the gospel. The perversion of the gospel. You know, that starts out just a little bit, and the next thing you know, and before you know it, you know, we just let little things in, and the next thing you know, we've completely forsaken the gospel of Christ. Churches are in the entertainment business. They get bands, and most of their service is singing, and they have a service for a preaching for 20 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever is left over. And by that time, the flesh is so worked up, the spirit can't penetrate the hearts and souls of the individuals that are there. We'll get right with God. The enmity between God and man is removed through Jesus Christ. The new birth for which the soul has struggled is realized, born again, recreated, created new. Old things pass away, all things become new. There's peace with God, and it is a reality. Look at Philippians 4, verse number 7. Philippians 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. That's not our peace. That's not mankind's peace. That's not the church's. That's a peace of Christ. It keeps our hearts and minds through him. Then in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we have peace with God. When we yield, receive that soul satisfaction through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. It's a reality. Resurrection. We have a resurrection to an eternity in his presence and likeness. And it is a certainty. Look at Psalm 17, verse number 15. 17th Psalm. Verse number 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Do you have that hope this morning? Yeah. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Amen. Then in John 14, verse number 19. John chapter 14 and verse number 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Each of us knows that the soul cries out for satisfaction. We've seen from God's word that all the things one might try outside of Jesus Christ will not satisfy the soul of man. God's words are clear in declaring that Jesus will satisfy the soul. And only he can satisfy the soul. This morning, if you're here, Spirit of God convicts your heart. Come to Jesus for this soul satisfaction. Come to Jesus, lost friend. Come to Jesus, child of God. Come to Jesus, church member. Safe person, come for scriptural baptism. Come for church membership. Come and add to and strengthen that soul satisfaction. Amen. Let's stand. What song shall we sing, brother? 392. If you're here this morning, whatever the need might be, I encourage you to come to Jesus before it's too late. Why continue in misery and suffering, dissatisfaction, and with no contentment? Come to Jesus and bring it to Him genuinely, bring it to Him sincerely, whatever that it might be. Still. Amen. We have a young lady here that said she knows what that soul satisfaction is, because Jesus satisfied her soul. Can you tell the church, are you saved?
Yeah.
When did you get saved?
On Wednesday.
Wednesday night service, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Our labor's not in vain in the Lord. He's still saving souls. You want to be baptized and join church?
Yeah.
You really want that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Church, you've heard what say you? Brother Ryan? Excuse me. I'm not hearing you. Speak up. Amen. That's a happy brother. All right. Motion second. Any question? Amen. Hallelujah. That's praise the Lord, remember. All right. When do you want to get baptized?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday? All right. We'll do that. Okay. We'll do that. Right now, we're going to give you the right hand of appreciation for your stand for the Lord, okay? All right. Yeah. All in favor? All opposed? No one can be opposed.
I forgot to raise my hand.
Oh. Number 45.
Okay. Here, brother. Come on around.
Ow. There is power.
season, you know.
That's it.
Fill them with turkey.
And 32.
Assurance you can. Just look to Jesus with all your heart. He's promised, and he's not slack concerning his promises. He keeps them. As we look to the Lord in dismissal prayer at this time, Brother Ryan, would you conclude our service?
Got it.
We got it.
All right.